The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel, Tupper's Plains, Ohio, connecting people to God. Join us now for an anointed message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
But it is a battle. You're going to have to fight. You're going to have to make sure that you know who you are in Jesus Christ. That's why I'm talking about war, and that's why I'm talking about the forces of the enemy. Not because I want to give the enemy any kind of glory. It's just important that we know who he is. All right. Start my timer so I can stay on track. I sometimes go over, my timer goes off. That's okay. Praise God. We're going to get into this morning. This is war. I can't emphasize that enough. This is war. And we are equipped for the battle. We are ready to fight and win. 2 Corinthians 10:4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, not natural. They're not physical, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. And in verse 5 says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So you see, this battle, this war that we are in, we have every weapon that we need. We've been given every weapon to fight this battle, and we fight it in the spirit realm. But we also are fighting it in our mind. That's a huge battleground. Because you see, faith and doubt are here. And they're warring against, this is just humanness. We either trust the word of God or we trust what the enemy is saying to us. We have to stand on the word of God. And if we trust the word of God, then by faith, we overcome. By faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We believe it before we see it. If you have to see it, it's not faith.
Right. Yes, that's right, sir.
You have to believe it before it's going to happen. Come on, sir. Believe that God is moving. You believe God is moving in your situation right now. I don't care what it is, whether it's relationships, whether it's financial, whether it's an emotional need that you have to believe God is there and moving in that situation right now. We're not seeing all the victory yet, but we will. You haven't received every victory that you need to receive in your life. Some of us are going to battle our whole life and we'll not receive the victory over some of the things that we're seeking victory over in this life. Now, that doesn't mean you're not going to win battles. You're going to win and you're going to fight and you're going to have victories. But there are just some things that we're not going to understand until we stand before the Lord. And then the light bulb's going to come on. Ah, that's why. That's where we were. Hallelujah. So in this series, I've been focusing on knowing our enemy, understanding who Satan is, understanding the demons, and understanding the demonic realm's depraved nature, so that we can recognize the tactics that the enemy is using against us. He has schemes, he has tactics, he has strongholds, he has plans. Yes, but do you realize the enemy has plans for you? He really does. He has laid out a plan for your life. But God has also laid out a plan for your life. We choose which plan we're going to follow. Every one of us. And let me tell you, it's a daily choice. Every day. Every day you get up, every day is a new day. New every morning with the Lord. But the enemy has a plan for you. God has a plan for you. God wins, though. If you follow the steps that He has ordered for your life, God wins. Satan's real. I know we make, in our society, we're afraid to talk about Satan, Lucifer, the devil, the dragon, because people want to make fun of you if you really believe there's an entity called the devil, a liar, a deceiver. But I'm telling you today, there is a real devil, and he's listening to what I'm saying right now. There are demons that are listening to this message. They don't like it. But in the name of Jesus Christ, they have no power over the written word of God and the power in the name of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus is greater and more powerful than anything that they can do and say. And now I'm going to tell you, every time I talk about demonic forces, every time I teach on this topic, there begins to be manifestations of the enemy. They do not like to hear. You know, when Jesus went about preaching the gospel, what would happen? Once in a while, a person who was demonized, I don't like to use the word demon possessed because I don't believe that's what it is in most cases. Demon possession means that the enemy has complete and full control over a person. There was cases of that in the New Testament, absolutely. The gathering demoniac was fully, completely possessed. But not everyone that Jesus encountered was completely possessed of the devil. They were demonized by the enemy. All right, we'll talk about that because I don't want to get you all confused right now. We will talk about that. I just want you to know, Satan is real, the devil is real, demons are real. And we've been talking about, where they've come from. Origins is what I titled this particular part of it. And I've talked extensively about a different area or different beliefs that people have in regards to origins of demons. We know we pretty much are in agreement the origin of Satan. We know that Satan was an angel that was created by God, and most likely, according to the scripture, he was a worship leader, and he led worship in heaven, and he became very proud. He was beautiful, he was talented, he had everything going for him, and he became so proud that he rebelled against God and wanted, the scripture says, that there's several I wills. I will mount up on the mountain of God. I will take the place of Almighty God. That's what Lucifer, Satan, said. And God brought him down. When he fell from heaven, he took with him a third of the angels, based on scripture. And I'm just giving you an overview this morning. If you want to hear the details of this, you need to go to our podcast and listen to the series of messages that I preached in regards to these things, because I've tried my best to touch on each and every area so that people could understand, you could hear the different theories that people have in regards to demonic forces, as well as the most believed or the most accepted by Bible theologians in regards to Satan is that he definitely was a worship leader and he rebelled against God. Satan is a real entity. I'm reminded of the story that I heard some years ago about a pastor in a little small country church. He was preaching on Satan, and he said, and I defy Satan to show up right now in this congregation. And poof, there was Satan. Everybody in the congregation ran out the door, including the pastor, except one man. One old gentleman sitting on the front row. And he just sat there. And Satan couldn't understand it. And he did everything he could. He tried to scare him. He said things to him. He got in front of him, got right in his face. And the old guy just sat there, didn't flinch. Finally, Satan just got so frustrated with this old guy. He said, "Man, what is wrong with you? Why aren't you afraid of me?" He said, "Ha, you ain't nothing. I've been living with your sister for 40 years. Ooh, okay. Now, we like to make fun. Have a good time. But the reality is Satan is real. And he does manifest, not in the flesh, of course, but he manifests in so many different ways. So many times in our lives. However, Satan is not the one, for the most part, that is working directly in people's lives. And this is important. It's the demonic forces. It's demons. Satan is not like God. He's not omnipresent.
That's right.
And there's no way. He does not. He's not everywhere all the time. He doesn't know everything all the time. He's a personality. He's an entity, and he has these forces that we refer to as demons that do all kinds of evil things to people. Their personality is evil. We must understand that. So, I talked about Satan. And I talked about the angels that fell with Satan, and I'm just doing a real quick review here. We looked at the theories of origin of demons, that they were the angels that fell with Satan. I don't really believe that. There was a pre-Adamic race. This goes along with the gap theory, that there's a gap between Genesis 1 and 2. Go to the podcast. I don't want to explain all this stuff. I've already gone through it. Spirits of evil humans was another theory that people have. We do not believe that those spirits are free to roam this earth. Our last study focused on Genesis chapter 6, verse 1 through 4. And this theory is that demons are spirits of human hybrids. And we get that from Genesis chapter 6, 1 through 4. If you'll turn there, we will read this real quick and move on with this study. Genesis 6:1. "Now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives from themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the land, in the earth, in those days. Also afterward, when the sons of God came to the daughters of men, and they bore children to them, those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown." Once again, I'm doing a real quick overview of what I've already talked about. This word here, this phrase here, B'nai Elohim, means the sons of God, and in the scripture it is always referring to, almost in every place, it's referring to angels, or what we refer to angels in the scripture. I believe this is talking about angelic beings who took on human form. And we know, I taught about that we saw in the Old Testament this could happen. It happened many times with Abraham, with Lot, where God, the angels would take on human form and meet with people, and they look just like humans. They could not be distinguished between a human. In fact, most of the time, people who were talking to them did not realize they were angelic beings until something happened, you know, some kind of supernatural thing happened. Okay? Once again, you can get all that on my podcast. Genesis 6:4, there were giants in the earth in those days. Giants, the Hebrew word there is Nephilim. It means fallen or mighty ones. In biblical matters, it's always essential that we use Scripture to back up Scripture. And the best commentary on Scripture, of course, is Scripture. And according to 2 Peter and Jude, these angels committed a great sin. And they're being punished in Tartarus, or in a place below what we refer to as hell, Hades, Gehenna, or the place of torment. They're being in chains. Listen to this. I'm going to read this to you, and then we're going to move on. 2 Peter 2:4, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, that cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. And then Jude 1:6, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting change under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. So we can see the New Testament backs up this understanding of the sons of God being angels, taking on human form and having a relationship with women, and they had children. And those children became mighty men of renown. But those angels that sinned then were locked in chains in Tartarus. In Greek mythology, what we're talking about would be considered demigods. You know, we've all heard of Zeus and, Zeus was a god, wasn't he? How about Hercules and many of the other, you know, demigods? I don't know all of them. But according to Chuck Missler, it's not only the Greeks, but nearly every ancient culture has legends of superhuman beings walking the face of the earth. That's not just a coincidence. Now, every legend, which, and in legends, of course, you know, legendary beings become legendary with stories that are attached to them. And sometimes those stories become bigger and mightier than the person really was. And they get stretched. We all heard stories of the founding fathers that supposedly they did things which are not reality. They really did not say and do some of those things, but those legends were attached to them. So, but the reality behind those stories is they were real people that really founded this nation. Okay, and the same thing goes with this. There was some real people that walked the face of the earth, and they were mighty, according to the Scripture, mighty men of renown. And just about every culture in the face of the earth talks about this. Now, this is important that we understand what I'm talking about. I don't just pull these things out of nowhere. I've shown you Scripture. We're backing these beliefs up. And for centuries, the Ethiopian church has kept and preserved an ancient Bible. Their Bible text has 88 books in it rather than 66. They have in those books, some of those books are referred to as apocryphal books, or books that have questionable authenticity is what that means. And just a big word that I had to look up. Bible scholars have been very skeptical about these books. And rightfully so, you know, that was the only place that they really had any information on some of these books. Now, there was other writings, but it was questionable about where they came from and their authenticity. However, between 1947 and 1948, something really interesting happened, and that was the Dead Sea Scrolls were found. Is everybody familiar with the Dead Sea Scrolls? They were found they're fragments of ancient scripture that were found in caves in the Qumran Valley next to the Dead Sea. And in those scriptures, they were ancient. It was like about 800 years older than any other scripture manuscripts that we've ever had. So this was a significant find. And one of the most important finds was the whole book of Isaiah, which is almost identical to the Isaiah that we have in our Bibles. So the authenticity of the scripture is verified through the Dead Sea Scrolls. Now, if you're not into any of this kind of stuff, please just bear with me this morning. I know I have a few people in here that eat this stuff up, so I'm just trying to share it. But this is important to me because, you see, I walk by faith and not by sight. But man, when we have something that confirms the Word of God, I think it's important that we share it. Very. So we can, you know, it really builds us up and say, you know, see, our God said. It doesn't matter what the world has been saying all this time. Our God said, and it's real. He's alive. Amen. So what I was trying to get to is this. Fragments of some of these apocryphal books were found in the Dead Sea Scrolls. Fragments of one particular book that I want to mention this morning is the Book of Enoch. It is an apocryphal book, but being found in the Dead Sea Scrolls verifies that it was a book that was used in the Second Temple Jewish teachings. That means the temple that was in existence during Jesus' time when he walked on the face of the earth. That was the Second Temple. The first temple was Solomon's. It was destroyed. The second temple was built by Zerubbabel. Does that sound right? Okay. And then King Herod built onto it and made it a huge complex. It was a beautiful complex. By the time Jesus was walking on the face of the earth, this was a huge, beautiful complex because Herod was a prolific builder. He built a lot of cities. He built a lot of incredible things. He was a very evil man, but he was a builder. So the second temple, that's what I was talking about. So during that period of time, and also it shows that these books that I'm talking about, and particularly Enoch, influenced the first century church. They were influenced by these teachings. Dr. Heiser, who I mentioned before, says that if you read the New Testament, there's parts of the New Testament you really can't make sense of unless you understand the influence that these apocryphal books had in the life of the New Testament believers. This first century believers. Now, let me make sure you understand me. I'm not saying these things are to be considered scripture. They're not. They're not part of the canon. You know, that's one of the things that they always talk about, canonized or accepted scripture that is inspired by God. So we're not looking at it from that same perspective. However, if you read some of this stuff, it fills in some of the blanks, especially for me, the questions that I had in regards to the origin of demons and some of the things that took place on the face of the earth during the great flood, the great apocalyptic flood that came upon the earth. They referred to it in the Old Testament and in Enoch as the great deluge, because it covered the whole earth. And those who would tell you that it has not, it did not cover the whole earth, you just need to do a little bit of research about archaeological finds that have the fossils and things that have been found on mountaintops that could only have gotten there, sea creatures, if there was water all over the earth, you know. Now that they'll explain it away, it was some other way that it happened, but we know what the truth is. We know. All right. Just want to make sure you understand where I'm coming from in regards to this, because I'm going to read a little bit of the book of Enoch to you this morning. So why would we pay attention to a book called Enoch if it's not scripture? Well, it's historical value. It helps fill in the blank. But also, in the King James Version of the Bible, Enoch is mentioned 8 times. So he was a real person. He was based, he's based in a biblical, inspired word of God. And he walked on the face of the earth. In the New Testament, Jude seems to be paraphrasing directly from the book of Enoch. When he says in Jude 1:14, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, and you know, someday I'll do a teaching on that. That's very important. Seven's always important to God. Seventh from Adam, prophesied of these sayings. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. Jude is, it's kind of a paraphrase, coming from, directly from the book of Enoch. So, I tell you this before, I wanted to lay this foundation before I read anything to you from Enoch. Here's what it says. And Senjazeh, who was leader of what we're talking about, is a group of angels referred to as watchers that God sent to watch over humans and to teach humans important things that they needed to know. So they had interaction with human beings, important things they needed to know to survive in the earth. Okay? And this leader, Senjazeh, who was their leader, said unto them, he was talking to the rest of the watchers. According to Enoch, there was 200 in all. I fear you will not indeed agree to do this deed. What deed's he talking about? Well, you'd have to go back and read the rest of it. But he's talking about coming to the earth and having a relationship, taking wives and having children. And I alone will have to pay the penalty of this great sin. And they all answered him and said, let us all swear an oath and all bind ourselves by mutual imprecations not to abandon this plan, but to do this thing. Then swear they all together and bound themselves by mutual imprecations upon it. And they were all in 200 who descended in the days of Jared on the summit of Mount Hermon. And they called it Mount Hermon because they had sworn and bound themselves by mutual imprecation upon it. What this explains is what Genesis 6 is alluding to. The sons of God took human women and had children. Enoch also goes on to explain that the watchers taught men, instead of good things, they taught them all kinds of evil, including how to make weapons, how to cut roots, how to read the stars, how to be involved in all kinds of ungodly occult practices. Now, the reason, I hope you can bear with me in regards to this. If you're not interested in it, that's okay. But I want you to bear with me because this is important. I'm going somewhere with this. You've got to understand that these demonic forces are operating in this earth today. And you want to make sure that you stay away from any occult practice that would open a door for the enemy to have His way in your life. We are given Scripture, and we are told explicitly to stay away from things like Ouija boards, to stay away from tarot cards, to stay away from horoscopes, to stay away from anything that fortune tellers and any thing outside of the Spirit of God speaking to us. When we go to these forces, we are going directly to the enemy's camp. And we give him a means, an avenue, an opportunity to come into our life. So, what it appears that these Nephilim were filled with all kinds of evil and lust. I'm talking about the sons, the children that were born to the men and or to the angels and the women. Here's what it says. And they became pregnant, and they bare great giants whose height was 300 ells, who consumed all the acquisitions of men. And when men could no longer sustain them, the giants turned against them and devoured mankind. And they began to sin against birds and beasts and reptiles and fish and devour one another's flesh and to drink blood. These Nephilim went about teaching are fulfilling the lusts of their flesh. Their fathers taught evil, and they acted out that evil during their lifetime. And it appears, now, here's something that you know we have to try to understand, is it appears that because this was a union between a supernatural and a human, these beings may very well have lived for long extended lifetimes, maybe even not seen death. So God had to judge them. Flood was what part of the reason, part of the judgment that came upon them. And their spirits, those are the spirits that I believe are demonic forces, because they have a desire, they have a need to fulfill the lusts and their desires that they had as they walked on the face of the earth. Now, does it really matter whether, you know, we understand the origin of demons? Well, maybe not, but there are some important things here. It gives us a better understanding of what we're dealing with. But that these spirits are that we're dealing with are a combination of supernatural beings and human spirits. Therefore, their desire is to fulfill their lusts and their desires through human beings. Now, they desire to do that any way they can possibly do. So it also gives us a much better understanding of the mission of Christ. Now listen to me carefully. The number one mission of Jesus Christ was to reconcile mankind to God. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, they became separated from God. God would come down in the garden in the evening and walk with them in the cool of the day. He was present. They could see him face to face and talk with him. Once they fell in the garden, once they sinned, once that virus was implanted in them, they no longer had that relationship. That relationship was severed. Not only was that relationship severed for them, but it was severed for all mankind. No one was able to have that kind of relationship with God any longer. That sin virus that was implanted in us was there, and there was nothing man could do about it. But God had an answer for that. God had a plan. God had a vaccine available for that virus. And I don't know how you feel about the COVID vaccine. I don't care. But But this vaccine is powerful. Amen. This will set you free. This, you know, the blood of Jesus causes us, this is the number one thing, it causes us to once again have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. We get to speak to Him. He lives inside of us. He walks with us and He talks with us, the old hymn you said. And He's there with us wherever we go. That's why I caution you, be careful where you take Jesus. You know, you may think you're hiding from God, but you can't hide from Him. Everywhere you go, if you're a believer, wherever you go, whatever you do, you're doing it with Jesus, with the Lord, Holy Spirit living in you. Therefore, it's important that we understand the number one thing, and the number one thing I want to say to you this morning, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, today's your day. You can receive Christ. God sent His only Son. John 3:16 tells us. His only begotten Son is the way King James says. It's His only, very own created Son. Yes. We can become sons and daughters because we're grafted in. You can be grafted in this morning to the kingdom of God. But He sent His only Son that anybody who would believe in Him, that, you know, God does discriminate. He discriminates between believers and unbelievers. Oh, you got quiet on me. God kind of discrimination, that's His prerogative. He gets to choose. But His discrimination is based on our will, based on what we choose. Do we choose the Lord Jesus Christ? Then we're on God's side. If we reject the Lord Jesus Christ, then we're on the other side. We have to make that choice. If you choose the wrong thing, your destiny is hell, according to the Scripture. I don't like to say that. I don't like to tell people, if you don't have Jesus, you're going to go to hell. But it's real, and if I don't warn you of that, someday you're going to stand before the Lord and you're going to say, you know that preacher guy, Rob? Pastor Rob? He stood up there and preached and told me all kinds of good things and wonderful things, but he never told me I was going to go to hell. Well, you don't have that excuse. I'm telling you, it's real. It's a real place, but you don't have to go there. It was designed for the devil, his angels, and anyone who rebels against God. But those of us who know Christ as our personal Savior, we have hope in glory. We have hope in Jesus Christ. So if you want to receive the vaccine this morning, I'm going to make that available to you. The blood, hallelujah, the blood of Jesus. It comes directly from the blood of Jesus, you know. Yeah, that's right. Amen. Praise God. You don't have to have a second shot. Amen. You get one and it's done. Hallelujah. It's good. God. That sin virus wants to take you to hell, and Jesus wants to vaccinate you against that sin virus. For since 1 Corinthians 15, 21-22 says this, for since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. Man came through Adam, death came into the world. But the resurrection of the body came through the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all who choose will live. Hallelujah. That's the choice we make. That's the power we have. In the name of Jesus, making the right choice. Jesus' number one mission was to overcome the deadly virus of sin and give you whatever it is that you need to walk in power in the name of Jesus. Now, I'm going to stop right there because, wait a minute, maybe I should go on. How much time do we have here? All right, we'll see what happens. All right, so Jesus' ministry, I'm sorry, I'm up here talking to myself. Jesus' mission was to overcome that deadly virus and make us immune to the sin nature. Now, I want you to understand something. Religion would have you believe that that's all there is to Christianity. But that's playing games with the Scripture. Because there is so much more to our relationship with the Lord. Yes, you know, praise God. Pie in the sky and the sweet by and by is wonderful. I'm looking forward to that pie. But there's more to it when I walk in this earth. I have to have power and authority to walk and overcome the enemy. Therefore, Jesus did more than secure a place for me in heaven. Hallelujah. Jesus secured my ability to walk in this earth in victory over the sin nature that I have. He secured that for me. He secured that for each and every one of you. John, 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, listen to this purpose, the Son of God was manifest that he might destroy all the works of the devil. That's the number two thing that Jesus came to do for us. He came to destroy the works of the devil in our life. Amen, amen, amen. So I can say to you without reservation this morning, addiction can be overcome. Yes. That demon that tries to attach itself to you through addiction, in the name of Jesus Christ, we rebuke that and you're free. Yes. Jesus' name. Outbursts of anger and frustration that the enemy tries to bring into your life in the name of Jesus Christ, you have victory over that. Thank you, Lord. These things that took place in your life that caused you to have problems with relationships in the name of Jesus, you are free from that past. You're free in Jesus' name. There is nothing going on in your life that the enemy has brought in that Jesus cannot overcome. He's powerful. Let me tell you something. But it takes understanding the Word of God and walking in that Word. That's so very important. Because I want to tell you something. Some of you are having issues financially, the spirit of poverty is trying to overtake you. And the reason that is happening in believers' lives is because you're not walking according to scriptural teachings and mandates. You're not following the Word of God. You're not tithing. You're not giving like God tells you to do. Those two things right there will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on your life that you cannot contain. Now, let me tell you something. Don't expect to begin tithing this week and next week have all those blessings overtake you. It doesn't work like that. Jesus taught us about sowing and reaping, or the Bible teaches about sowing and reaping. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And I know, because I have a garden, that I can't sow my beans this week or today and go out tomorrow and see them coming through the ground. And I'm definitely not going to get a crop in 2 days. If I'm going to get a crop, I've got to continue to tend those beans. I bring up beans because I had a hard time getting my beans to grow this year. I planted them 3 times before they finally came up. But anyhow, I know that I'm not going to get produce right away. And the same thing applies to these financial principles and all these principles in the Word of God. My time is up. Hallelujah. These biblical principles are so important.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Therefore, if you're going to walk in freedom, yes, I believe the name of Jesus will deliver you from the demonic forces that are trying to bind you up. But you cannot be free and then walk out these doors and pick that same habit and lifestyle up and expect to stay free.
That's good, sir.
Doesn't happen. Only when we walk faithful to the Lord. I want to destroy the ability of the enemy to dominate God's people. And we're going to pick up right there and begin talking about that more in the rest of this series, because we're going to talk about the tactics that the enemy is using against God's people. But I would like to share just really briefly this morning my own testimony about receiving the Lord, because I was raised in a Christian home. Many of you have heard this testimony before, so you just have to bear with me. But I want to make sure that people understand where I'm coming from, because I'm not just up here spouting words that mean nothing to me. This is real to me. Salvation in Jesus Christ is real to me. Freedom from drugs and alcohol and all kinds of addiction in my life is real to me. We've seen God not only set me free, but set our family free, touch the lives of people we love. We've seen it happen in this church. We've seen God move in miraculous ways. But being raised in a Christian family, it was awesome. It was great. I had great parents. I didn't appreciate what God had given me until later on. But as a teenager, I decided that, it'd be more fun to go play in the world. Drugs and alcohol and all the things that go along with that. And I did that for a while. Tammy and I met Tammy when we were high school sweethearts. And I like to joke and say that she corrupted me. But the reality is, she was a good girl and I was a bad boy. We'll just say that. But as we began to, we got married and life, we had children, things were starting to change in our life. We did a lot of partying. I like to tell this because it's a little bit humorous and it gets Tammy a little bit. I decided early, we got married in 1976, so a couple of years after that, God started dealing with my heart. And we'd read the Bible, I'd read the Bible and lay in bed and cry, because I knew my heart was not right with the Lord. But then I'd get up the next day and we'd go out and party. So God hadn't taken full control of me. But somewhere along that line, during that process, God started dealing with me heavily, and I decided I was going to stop smoking weed. And that was a big deal. You know, everybody I hung out with smoked weed. That was just part of our life. And I decided I was going to stop smoking weed. Well, that didn't go over too well with my wife, who didn't want to stop smoking weed right now, and because she couldn't roll the joints. So when I stopped rolling joints, she had to stop too. Now, listen, she's a good person, and I give her a hard time sometimes. But that just gives you a little background of who we used to be. You know, we're not any longer. And then in 1979, God was really dealing with my heart. I think I had already made a commitment to Christ. I just felt like I knew I could do it any place. I was taught that growing up, but I wanted to go to church and do it. So I went to church. We went to a Bible study at South Bethel. That's the church that this place came from. We went to a Bible study, and during that Bible study, we went forward and committed our life to Christ. And from that moment on, nothing was the same in our life. We didn't fit into the smoking and drinking and partying crowd any longer. We tried. We went and hung out with them, but we didn't smoke and we didn't drink and we didn't act crazy like they were acting anymore. So, it just didn't work. It wasn't that we were rejecting them or really that they were rejecting us. It's just the lifestyle was so different. And God began to work in our heart. And he's worked over the years. He's set us free from so many different things. But I can tell you this. If you're not seeing progress in your relationship with the Lord, and he's not dealing with you about things that you're doing that are wrong. You know when you're doing something that is not biblically right. The Holy Spirit will speak to you. And if you're not changing those things, you're not moving forward in the Lord. And you need to be careful that you do not allow the enemy to take you back to where you came from. You've always got to be making progress. But I will say this. The number one thing, the only way you can start that process is by receiving Christ as your personal Savior. Amen. That's what it takes. That's the power. That's what vaccinates you against this sin virus. And it'll set you free. And then that sets you on the course for the Holy Spirit to be able to deliver you from everything that you need delivered from. I'm going to ask you to stand with me this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. So, first of all, I want to deal with salvation. Scripture said if you confess the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And when we say saved, we mean you're saved from hell. You're set free. You get to go to heaven.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob again. I pray you enjoyed this podcast. What a blessing it has been to have you join us on this social media platform. If you would like more information about Bethel, please check out our website at bethelchurch.community. You can also follow us on our Facebook page at Bethel Church, Tepper's Plains. Have a blessed day, and remember, love never fails.